Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. Cause every good.
Hello?
As I testify of your mercy and your grace, and as I testify to every man, woman, boy, and girl of every race, be glorified.
May it compel men to turn their hearts back to thee.
Hello?
Hey, brothers, how you doing, man? I have some
good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, brothers, what's going on? Yeah,
okay, we good?
We are good. I'm just going to mute some of the mics I got on and everything, and you should be able to hear me, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. Okay. What we're going to do right now, let's go ahead and open us in prayer, man, while I try to figure out some things that's going on here, okay?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are awesome, God. We worship you. We praise your holy name. We ask, Father, that you will just, just have your way this hour. And just allow us to speak what you shall have us to say. I just pray, Father, that this hour that somebody, Father's life will be touched or be ministered to during this time, God. God, you get the glory in this. Not our three, but you, Father. You get the glory. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I want to welcome everybody to Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. I know that I have my brother Cleophas with me and brother Elson's with me. Brother Tyrone should be joining us in a few minutes. I also know that brother Tony will not be with us. He may come in later. I'm not sure yet and stuff like that. But brothers, I just want to welcome you again to another month. Amen. Of us coming together. Today's topic we're going to talk about is called commitment. If you are listening through the any of the apps, anything like that, or you desire to call in and maybe have something to add, the telephone number is 646-478-0660. Amen. Amen. Real quick, I want to go through some things. I want to remind everybody that His Abounding Grace, the Minister Vanessa Williams, is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Friends is Friday at 7 p.m. Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday. Amen. Amen. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and Beautiful Reverend Rita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday. Amen. Adoration with the Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One, Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And, of course, today is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elson Green, Cleophas Renone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. So please don't forget our weekly prayer, Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. Amen. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. It's 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. Amen. And again, my brothers, welcome to another broadcast and another episode of Hour 3. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Oh.
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's good to hear the voices of my these outstanding young men here that have a desire to seek after the things of God. Our topic
Amen.
Today,
I like the outstanding young. I love that.
You got
true that.
Praise God,
well,
man.
I don't think I was talking to you, Elsie, because I think you're just as old as I am, right? No, I'm just kidding.
See, there, you messed up already. Already.
I'm just playing, man. I'm just messing with you and stuff. But hey, brothers, good to hear from you. Like I said, Brother Tyrone should be calling in a few minutes. Our topic, one of the words that came up with today, and I was in conversation with someone else about commitment, you know, commitment of men, and I sent a text out earlier and everything like that. I know it's the last minute, but I think what is, and you guys can chime in, and I have scriptures, and you have scriptures, and like you would like to share is fine. But I think one of the things is that there seems to be a lack of commitment that is going on, not only in the body of Christ, but also in the world today, and especially a commitment to to the things of God. I mean, not all, but some are moving forward. But a lot of us are, you know, they're staggering, you know, and we're not consistent with our commitment when it comes to the things of God, and even when it comes to the things of our family, you know. And I believe that God is going to hold us responsible, accountable for all of those things. So, but I don't want to do all the talking because I got some issues going on here. But I want you, brothers, to chime in and add to whatever. Or if there's another subject that you want to talk about, then we could do that too. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. So we can start with you, Brother Cleophas. We can start with you.
Amen. Go ahead, Cleophas. Praise the Lord.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I pray all is well with all. Very interesting topic on commitment, you know, to God, to family, church, friends. You know, commitment to God, I believe it comes out of two areas. Number one, in your commitment to God, I think of Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're seeking will be added unto you. I think if the scripture says seek ye first, then there must be a second, you know. So mm-hmm. I think too often in our commitment, we will make commitments to things that and then we wonder why those things may not go well for us. And if you really think about it, it's because we haven't sought God on the matter. Everything is not for you. Even in ministry, everything is not for you. You know, if you're in ministry and God has given you a specific assignment, then you should stay true to that assignment. Stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
And let you know when it's mm-hmm. time to move from that lane or to take another path. Number two, I think you can find it in Proverbs chapter 3 and 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And I think that is congruent with 6 and 33. You know, God wants to be first place in our lives. He wants us to trust him in everything and seek him out in everything, and he'll direct us in the way we should go. So I think that level of commitment to God, it would make all of our, you know, lives as believers make our lives so much easier. Doesn't mean that we'll be without trials and tests, because Jesus said that in John 16 and 33. You know, in this world you're going to have some tests, you're going to have some trials, but be of good cheer because he's overcome them all.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I was going to just, if I can, go back to the scripture that I believe God gave me years ago. And when you're dealing with commitment, because when we talk about commitment, we always think about a marriage or a relationship. And Cleo talks about, he started off with saying our commitment to God, and it's hard to make a commitment with anything else if you can't commit to God.
Amen.
Same way he has committed to you. He has made a huge commitment when he said, okay, I'm going to send my son to die on a cross for these jokers down here who not going to even receive what he has. He made a commitment. That was his commitment level. That was a serious commitment, and he pretty much set the standard or set the bar as far as commitment. In other words, he did something. He said something, and he did it. And a commitment starts with us saying, making a vow, if you may, or saying that we're going to do something, and we follow up in doing it. And yes, it starts with relationship with God, but it also starts when we're very, very young, and how we're taught and how we're raised. That when, you know, I know my grandmother told me, when you say you're going to do something, you do it, you know. And now, unless you're dead, that it can't be done. But if you make a, you say a word that you're going to do something, that's the commitment. Your word is a commitment. It's almost a contract. You know, we want stuff written down on paper, but our word is our bond. And so we have the word of God, which is his commitment to us. So what he says that he's going to do, he's committed in doing it. And there's no, well, I don't know, or because of this or because of that. In the Old Testament, it was if, but in the New Testament, is I will. Mm-hmm. And so it starts with God. God says that, you know, he's going to do, and he does it, and he's committed to doing what he says he's going to do. But it also, when we're dealing with relationships with one another, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When we submit ourselves one to another, we are committing ourselves or making a commitment in a relationship or whatever it may take in relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a friend relationship, if it's a neighbor relationship, if it's a brother-sister relationship. When we submit ourselves one to another, it's a commitment that we're making that we're going to submit to even your needs, what you need from me, and vice versa. So if A is submitting to B, then B needs to submit to A. It's not just a one-way street. And when you do it that way, you're also making a commitment that, hey, I'm committed in this relationship, that I'm going to do what I need to do to make this relationship be a healthy relationship. And so as the other person need to be the same way, that they're committed to this relationship. I don't care what type of relationship, but even if it's a friendship, I'm committed to be a friend to you if I say I'm your friend. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a you're making a vow, I'm going to be, and then whatever that friend, whatever I need as a friend, that you would be there for me as long as it's healthy for both of us. You know, it may be I just need somebody to listen to me as I talk, and you say I'm your friend. So a friend will stick closer than a brother, and I'm committed to listen and even help you, or even maybe have to share some tough love with you, but that's my commitment to you. And so commitment should not be taken lightly.
Right.
Because when we committed to do something, when we have made a vow, whether we say it, whether we've expressed it in some kind of way, that we have actually made a vow, a promise. I know we stand in front of a minister to get married, but when we say, you know, brother, I got your back, meaning that I'm committed to making sure that you are, to my best of my ability, that you're taking, that I'm here to support you in what you need to do, what you need to accomplish, or even when you're going through. So I say, all to say is that commitment starts with God. You can't be committed to God, then anything else under God is going to be impossible to do. Because if you wavy with God, you're definitely going to be wavy with or double-minded with men.
Amen. Also, when you guys were talking, I thought about commitment as far as also being part of a covenant relationship, especially when it comes to Christ. You know, like you said, Alison, that Christ was committed to come down and down. He was committed to die. You know, he was committed to death for us, you know, so that we might have life, you know, but not, as the scriptures, not just any kind of life, a more abundant life and everything. And that type of covenant and that kind of commitment, they tie in together. As both of you were talking, and I agree with what you're saying, but one of the things we have to be careful about with is who we give our commitment to, you know. And we don't want to give our commitment to someone that's going in the opposite direction of where God says, you know. And we We have to be careful of that, you know, because there are some people that, you know, they're not doing those things or they're doing something that's contrary to the will of God. So we have to be careful, with, especially when it comes to men being committed to other men or being loyal, so to speak, to other men or being loyal to a ministry or being loyal to anything like that. You know, we have to be careful. We have to be mindful. We have to be prayed up. We have to know those things. And in some cases, God, I believe, tells us that we got to go from that situation, you know. We have to leave and we have to move forward and everything. So the commitment is a very, it's extremely important word for the body of Christ and for the word. You know, I know that when I went into the service, as you read, you probably remember both of you guys, because both of you guys was in a form of the service. I think somebody was in the Marines. I don't know, you know, if somebody was in the Navy, maybe I'm wrong on that one. But we make a commitment to serve the country. We make a commitment to go in and go into, and follow orders and stuff like that. But at the same time, we realize that if that order is contrary to what, you know, what we believe in, then, you know, we can, I'm speaking for myself. You know, if they tell me to go to do something that I know that's contrary, that's not a good thing, we can, you know, question those orders, you know,
right,
and that kind of thing. And we can come up against it. But when it comes to, I mean, that's just in the secular world, in the military, and all that kind of stuff. But our commitment to God is not the same as being commitment to the things of the world. You know, that our commitment to Christ should be in the forefront, you know, and should be up top of the line. I mean, it should be with heart-to-heart type of thing, you know. I mean, it should be the desire to seek after the things of Him and to want the things of Him, so that not so that He can bless us, but we can have that intimate relationship with Him and He have that intimate relationship with us, you know. To be able to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, you know, He is having a conversation with us and stuff, because He trusts us. Also, when you think of it, there's a trust factor that's involved in everything, you know, can God trust me? Or, you know, I know that we can trust God, but can God trust me? You know, I know that He's committed to me, but am I committed to Him and everything? Also what you were talking about as far as relationships, man. You know, I think that there seems to be a lack of that commitment, whether it's coming to marriages or whatever. It just seems to be something that's lacking in the world. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, the men, the souls of men are growing even wax, you know, cold and stuff like that. They're turning to their own pleasures. So there's no commit. There's no commitment to stay with a person and stuff like that. It's like one and done, you know. It's that's why you have so many divorces that are going on there and stuff, you know, that the commitment is, or you brush your teeth the wrong way, that's it, I'm out the door. I mean, I'm being funny, but, you know, I mean, that's what I would like the way you lay in the bed. I mean, these are things that no doubt are happening. So because you lay on the wrong side of bed and that's on my side, I'm not committed to you to be with you anymore, you know. And in most cases, in some cases, there are situations that arise that because of hurt or abuse or whatever, then, you know, and then that commitment, far as I'm concerned, you guys probably know more than me and stuff like that. I mean, I wouldn't encourage anybody to stay in an abusive relationship of any kind, you know, and stuff like that. And stuff like you being abused, whether male or female, I wouldn't encourage you to stay there. I would encourage you to get help or get some counseling, and in some cases, extreme cases, you got to go. You got to run for your life and everything. So the commitment is an extremely important word that I believe that God has laid on my heart. And I believe that God is calling for us as men to first be committed towards Him and then committed towards our families, you know, and committed towards our sons and our daughters. You see, so many fathers that are not taking care of their responsibilities as their sons or daughters or of anybody, you know. They may have two or three, and not passing judgment, but they realize they're not there, you know. They're not there to help their son grow up to be the man that he's supposed to. They're not there to educate or teach their daughter about the things of life. They're just not there, you know. And then what happens, and what I found out as I've gotten older, is that as the man, as the man or young man or old man gets older, he ends up wanting that kind of relationship. But by that time, it's usually too late, you know, unless God come in and work things out, you know, because you wasn't in that child's life growing up, and you didn't do this, and, you know, then now you, like, in your 80s or 70s, now you want a relationship, and they don't really know you and stuff like that. So that commitment got to be to the family like that, that I'm staying with you, son, no matter what, even past the age of 18, you know, that I got, like you said, Elson, I got your back. I got your back. I'm covering you. I'm praying for you. That commitment, when it comes to us as believers, includes prayer. It includes those, else as you know what we know about, those 2 o'clock in the morning prayers. There's watch prayers and stuff like that for our sons and for our family and stuff like that. Because we are committed that God will continue to keep them safe from hurt and harm and danger and those kind of things. You know, commitment is one of the words, along with love and all these other things, that need to be part of any kind of marriage training or counseling, anything like that. How committed are you to this? When it gets rough, will you give up? You know, when the storms come, you know, when the storms come and the lightning be flashing and the thunder be thundering like crazy and the water and the wave is up above right at your chin, you know, will you still be there? Or will you just give in and throw in the towel and say, that's it, I can't do it anymore? You know, would we rely on God, or would we rely on our own self, you know, to get us out of that situation and stuff? So, but you guys got any more thoughts?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and going back to something Nelson said earlier about, you know, quoting in Ephesians, having love one toward another. I think, you know, as relative to as believers, as Christians, and commitment, I think that's part of what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about having this agape love, where you want for someone else to have better, in some cases, more than they may even want for themselves. And that causes you to have a commitment toward them. You know, just like a pastor of a ministry, you know, he's a shepherd, and, you know, he's pouring his heart out for the congregation to change, to grow in this agape love, so to speak, and this commitment to God and to family and to your finances, you know, and so forth and so on. And, you know, it's incumbent upon us and important for us to continue, even when we don't see the results that we want to see as quickly as we may want to see them. It's important that we continue to pour that love out, and because everybody's light doesn't go on at the same time. You know, it's just like our children, man. You know, I know myself personally. I got 3 daughters. I want all of them to do well.
Right.
You know, I want them all to do well. I don't love one more than I love another. I may like the behavior of one more than I like the behavior of another, but the love that I have for them is the same across the board. And, you know, if one is doing well and one is not doing so well, you know what? It doesn't change my disposition. It just forces me, because I'm committed, it forces me to pour into the one that's maybe not doing as well a little more. And, you know, it's amazing how you can have kids that all grow up under the same roof, getting the same message from the parents, and one does real well or 2 do real well, and then one is, you know, not there for whatever reason. And in most cases, it's because it's not the message in the home that got stale. They started listening to somebody outside the home. You know, like Peter Wayne.
Right.
As long as he was focused on Christ, he was walking on water. The moment he took his eyes off of Christ and started focusing on the situation and the circumstances of the storm that was around him, which was already there when he got out the boat, But when he started focusing on it, that's when he began to sink. So, you know, our level of commitment or our covenant to one another, it should never change, you know, if we're walking in love. And I think that was part of what Elston said earlier, that love piece, you know, that when you are walking in the agape kind of love, then your commitment won't be cut off or it won't sway. You know what I'm saying? But if you're condition based, then as long as the conditions are good, you're committed. When the conditions aren't good, you're no longer committed.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen. I was looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And this is Paul said, he said, I have fought the good fight. He said, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And the reason I looked at that particular scripture, because Paul had to be committed to the calling and to the glory of God and what God had told him to do. He said, I fought a good fight. You know, if we want to be in that place, look, I fought. When our life was over, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. In other words, everything God told me or sent me to do, I was committed to it. I stayed focused on it. You know, I might have slipped up sometimes, you know, to be honest and stuff like that. You know, I might have wasn't always on target, but I finished the race. You know, I finished the race. Yeah, I finished the race.
You know, that's an excellent example too, Reverend Ray, using Paul, because when Paul was Saul, he was as committed to his belief system as Saul as anybody. He excelled above his contemporaries in his business for his faith. And when he was converted on the road to Damascus, and he was converted. When he was converted over to Christ, that same level of commitment that he had to that other religion, now he had to the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting it to the Gentiles. So we can be converted from a sinner to being saved, and if we take that same level of commitment that we had to whatever it was in the world we were doing as a sinner, and we bring that over to our Christianity and being saved, and we bring that same zealousness over, man, we can change the world.
That's true. Brother, you got anything to add?
No, I just want to say that the commitment level, it seemed like it has diminished with this new generation. It seems like that because we have this liberty and this freedom is that, you know, I'm not going to commit to anything. I'm going to try it out, and if I don't like it, then whatever it is. I don't care. It could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be a car. It could be a house, whatever you want. Nope, we're not committed, even though we are bound by a contract, but there's too many people in court trying to get out of a commitment that they made.
Right.
They're trying to get out of commitment that they made, and how do you combat against that? I wish I had the answer. I think it with each person is once again it's how we were brought up, how we were raised, how our parents, you know, what was our home life like as far as, you know, teaching, you know, like me, I'm teaching my son, you know, hey, you know, if you schedule to go to work, because he works at Chick-fil-A, if you schedule to go to work, you go to work. There's no, but I want to play with my friends because they're going to the court to play ball. No. You're scheduled to go to work, you know, and that's the bottom line. I don't want to hear you calling out sick because you want to play some ball. That doesn't make any sense. You're starting this now at 16. This is going to continue. And before you know it, you had a job because you want to play ball with your friends. You know, so, and just using that as an example and then just teaching him that, hey, you wanted to work at this job. You told them that when they schedule, you'd be available. That's a commitment.
Right.
Your
right.
word. That's what you told them. And you made a commitment that you're going to be there. And you have to understand that. Listen, son, when you say this, I said, this is going to go a long way. I mean, your word, your bond, you don't understand the seed that you have sown when you have made a commitment and you're going to stick with it. It's going to grow. It's not going to be just for this job. This is going to take you other places too, believe it or not. So the commitment it has to start at a young age. It has to start. It has to be taught. It has to be demonstrated. It has to be shown. People have to see. They have to see what commitment is. Some people don't know what it is.
Right,
you know,
right.
If nobody lived it before them, now you're talking about, okay, well, they did it, so why have to do anything different?
You know, and piggybacking on what you were just saying, Elston, I think a lot of that too is based on whatever your value system is. I tell people all the time, or I have told people that, you know, with people in specifically, what they value, they'll protect. If they don't find any value in it, then they don't have any commitment to it. You know, henceforth, you know, I start a job today, I'm working on it. I really don't have a whole lot of value in this job. You know, I come to work late, and hence now 3 months in, you know, I get fired or I quit, and I go find another job. And I look at resumes from time to time, and I see people that are on a job for 4 months, next job for 5 months, next job for 6 months, and I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, why should I hire this person? They don't stay anywhere anytime. And then you ask questions about it, and they got every excuse under the sun as to why they left this job or why they left that job. You know, somebody talked to them the wrong way, but where's the value? Where, you know?
Right.
And I think with value, when you value something, now you're committed to you. I value my relationship with my wife. Therefore, I'm going to protect that relationship. I'm committed to it.
Right.
So I think a sense when there's a sense of value put on something, you know, when you understand the exchange of, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm going to benefit from it, I think that's where a level of commitment comes in. And I think when you talk about the younger generation, and it's not all of them, because I don't want to, you know, paint the broad brush over the whole everybody, but there's some that just aren't committed. And quite frankly, we see our young men and women dying in the streets because there's no value placed on life. They're not committed to it.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. But I mean, like you said, it's not just the young folks, because they have to see it from somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't say young if they doing it because they saw it done through an older generation. So it's not a commitment with if the father's not committed to raising up his child, or he's not committed to staying with his wife, or if he's not committed to doing what he needs to do to take care of his responsibilities, then the child will emulate what they see. So they're getting it from somebody.
Right. More caught than taught.
Getting it from somebody. And so we can't always blame it, like you said, man, you can't always blame it on the children or the kids or the younger generation. Everybody's not like that, but they got it from somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah, that goes back to, you know, raising kids. Is that, you know, as much as we want our kids to do what we say do, 90% of the time, they're going to do what they see us do, because more is caught than taught. So if I'm saying one thing, but my actions is doing another, the kids are going to forget what they heard me say, and they're going to do what they see me do.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what you. Exactly. So.
Hey, You said something earlier too, Elson, about a double-minded man. That's why, you know, your words and your actions have to line up, you know. And,
right.
And in the body of Christ, that's why so many people are falling away, because they hear some words and then they see some actions, and there's not a they don't line up. And now people are falling off and falling away from the church, so to speak, because what they see and what they hear is two different things. If I got a message, then my actions better line up with my message.
Mm. Mm. That's good.
My Betty Peoples, the late Mother Betty Peoples of Jericho, she said, she told my pastor, she says, if you can't live it, you have no right to teach it.
Come on now.
Yeah. So, you know, so again, value, what you value, you know, commitment. You know, I think the value and the commitment goes hand in hand. And if we're going to, if I say I'm called of God into ministry, you know, then God has equipped me. I don't have to go do things on my own. I don't have to put on airs. I don't have to be fake, phony, or none of that, you know, because God got me. And he's already been to the end of whatever. He goes to the end of a thing. Then he comes back, and he puts you on your way to it. And he never said that you wasn't going to have any storms or any trials or any tribulations that are going to come up along the way, but just stay on the path I put you on. And if you do that, you win.
Right. Amen. Amen. I want to put in another scripture real quick. Brother Tyrone just sent me a text, so he should be calling in a few minutes. But this is also coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It says,
amen.
Do your best. You know, and that's what we're doing. You know, we are in a process that we are striving, we are pushing forward to doing our best. We are and using the word commitment, you know, that's what we're doing. We are committed to the things of God. We should be committed to the things that other things in life, you know. We should be committed to our relationship with our family and that kind of stuff, okay? Paul also said in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 29, he says, to this end, he says, I strive to contend with all the energy Christ so powerful works in me. He said, I'm not just going through the motions of it, but I'm making an effort to it with it too. You know, I'm making an effort, in other words, of being committed to the things of Christ. You know, I'm making an effort to obey him. I'm making an effort to, you know, even in some case, you know, sometimes it's something hard to love our enemy. Jesus didn't give us an instruction. He said, love your enemy. You know, what good is it to love somebody that loves you? But you got to love those that don't love you too, you know. So
right.
Those things are effort. Those things are committed, you know, even with the word forgiveness, you know, when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness is, we have to be committed to forgive, you know, no matter what. We have to be committed to forgive each other, you know, or someone that's wrong. There has to be an actual effort or a commitment to take place, you know, no matter what. I forgive you. I may not right now feel, even though it's part of the process, I might not want to at the time, but my commitment to the things of Christ says that I have to forgive you, so guess what? I forgive you.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Let's see what else we got. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9, it says, let us not be weary in doing good, but for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I think I'm not reading from the King James Version. I think this is something else. But
right.
It's if you faint not.
Right. In this season you shall reap if you faint not.
Yes,
and I love that verse, and I always share that as much as I can. In other words, it's saying, don't give up, you know, don't give up, even with your commitment, don't give up on what you committed to, unless, like you said earlier, if it's you're in an abusive relationship, you know, if you're in a place where you could be harmed or injured, no, God doesn't want you in that. But if you find yourself in a situation where you know it's tough and it's tight, and he's like, and you know you've made a commitment, especially in a relationship, when you are, and when I say relationship, I'm talking about a marriage relationship, you know, when, you know, you can't, you guys don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, and you're just always, you know, coming at each other. Sometimes Satan will just keep pressure to see if somebody's going to quit. Who's going to be the first one to say, I can't do this no more?
Right.
Who's going to be the first person that says, I give up? It's not working. You know, because God gives us the grace to endure and the faith to trust in him that he's going to see us through. But sometimes we can be just as close to our breakthrough the next day, the next hour. Say, I'm ready to throw a towel. Who's going to be the first one to do it? But when y'all make a commitment, say, no, we're going to stand. We're going to fight this thing. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. And when you do that, you will reap the harvest. You shall reap if you faint not. In other words, you will gain the harvest. You will win if you don't give up.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And another scripture, fellas, that I was looking at here in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, in the King James Version, Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And, you know, that just speaks, because that's simply Jesus saying, you put your hand to this plow, you're committed. You know, there's no time to go back and try to, you know, take care of this or take care of that. Once you've made a decision that you're going with me, now you need to be committed to going with me. You know, and you can't start looking back and, you know, just what Elson just said and falling off and getting weary and well doing. You got to stay in the game. You got to stay plugged in. And the only way that I know that you can do that again. What have you established the value as? And once you've established the value, you understand the exchange. That's where the commitment comes from. Now I'm committed to it. You know, come hell, hot water, low water, no water at all, I'm staying in the game. I'm staying committed to it. I'm not falling off. I'm not falling back. I'm not swaying to the left. I'm not swaying to the right, because I trust and believe in what the Word of God says for my life. So I'm staying on course.
Amen. Brother Tyrone, you joined us?
Yes. God bless you, brother. Yes, I'm here. I'm just listening in.
Okay. I don't know where you're at or what's going on, but our topic has been so far within an hour. It's been about commitment and everything. So if you want to add anything, it's probably a good time to do that, bro.
Yeah, well, I just heard a little bit, I think. Someone was just talking about commitment, commitment. I know one particular passage of scripture that lays in my heart says, I believe it's Psalms 37, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When I read that years ago, it sort of sunk in my heart that there was something. It was like a mandatory commandment that God wanted me to make with myself, and that was committing myself to the service of the Lord. And I found out that when I did that, it brought me closer to God. It made me be more true to what I wanted to do in serving the Lord. And I began to walk in that commitment. I began to live in it. And every day I found myself being drawn closer, not only to just the fact that I love the Lord, but the Word of God and the knowledge of God. I began to learn more and more of it by me making that commitment. And I found out about that through the Word of God. And I've been growing ever since. So I think when one commits themselves to the Lord, or when one makes a commitment like that to the Lord, they will grow. They will get stronger. And not only that, they'll learn to help other people. So I'm, for one, I'm totally committed. I preached the message one time, totally committed. And I'm totally committed to serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to read one more scripture. This will be my last scripture for the night, from me in a way. And this is coming out of Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. And it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he should not break his word. He said, do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. So that says for us that God takes our vows, our commitment, everything that comes out of mouth, very serious. Okay? Because he was willing, it just that serious. You know? As Elston and Cleophas were saying earlier, as how the saying go, your word should be your bond, you know, meaning that, you know, when you speak something, it should be truthful. That's another word that goes with the commitment. It should be truthful, you know. It should be still standing, even if everybody else leave or go out and do different things, it should be still there because you're committed. You know, especially when it comes to the things of God. You know, if everybody else leave your ministry and you're the only one left, if God told you not to go, then you got to be committed to what God told you to go.
Amen.
It goes back into being obedient to the things of God, you know, and not the things of the flesh and not anything else, but being obedient to what God said, you know, no matter what it may look like. Amen.
Yeah.
No matter what it may look like.
I've got one more scripture too, Brother Ray, like to read. It comes out of Job 36 and 11, and it says, if they obey, exactly what you said about obedience, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier about value and the exchange. You know, once you know what the exchange is and what the value is, now you can set yourself to be committed to a thing. And if the scripture tells me that if I obey God and I serve him, that I'll spend my days in prosperity and my years in pleasure, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to be obedient to what he tells me. I'm going to be obedient to the call he's placed on my life. And I'm going to serve him. And I'm not going to just serve him, you know, this week or this month. I'm going to serve him the balance of my days that I have left on planet Earth. And in doing so, I can expect, not that I'm looking for, but I can expect that I'm going to have some days of prosperity and some years of pleasure.
Amen. Amen. I'll see you guys in closing.
I think I've said enough, but in the closing, I would say this, that if you have a struggle or problem with commitment, make a commitment. Start making commitments that you know that you can fulfill. Start small. Don't make any huge commitments. Start with something small. And then ask God for help, because maybe it's a struggle for you. And, of course, you know, you can't do this by your own, and God can definitely help and give you strength to do it. But definitely start with something small and then work your way up to bigger commitments or lifelong commitments. You know, when I say lifelong, I'm talking about marriages, you know. If you can't handle just having one friend at a time, then you definitely don't need to be getting married. So start out with something small and work your way up to the bigger things. And then, of course, the Word of God says, if you're faithful with few, he make you ruler over many.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Brother Ty, you have any closing remarks, anything like that? Did I lose him? Tyrone? Okay. All right. Okay, Brother Cleophas, this is what we're going to do. We got like about a couple minutes left. Well, I want you, two things I want you to do. Brother Tony asked us, he sent a message out just to keep him in prayer. So we want to keep him in prayer and everything. But I also want you to open up, and this is something that we I don't think we did last year. But, you know, just open up the plan of salvation, you know, just in case somebody's hearing it today and that never knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And, of course, just close us out. So,
okay.
If you can.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be glad to. If you would indulge me just for a quick moment, Brother Ray.
Yes, sir.
I would like to say this. If this broadcast has been a blessing to any of you and you listen in faithfully and you're growing through the conversations that we have, the God-inspired word that we're bringing to you, you know, it takes money to run any kind of business or any kind of organization. And it would probably be a blessing. I know it would be a blessing to Brother Ray and When Christians Speak Radio if you would sow into this ministry. And I'm not asking you for one dime. All I'm asking is if this has been a blessing to you and you want to sow, if you're willing, Brother Ray will give you instructions at the end of the broadcast on how to do so.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this platform. I thank you for this ministry, that the vision that you've given unto Brother Ray. I thank you for each and every member, each and every person that has accepted the call to be a part of this broadcast. I pray for Brother Tony and his family. I pray for each and every man that's a part of this broadcast. Father, I thank you that we're excelling in every area of our life. Now, Satan, I bind you. I come against every evil and demonic plot, scheme that you have placed against us. I call it powerless, null and void. And I thank the Heavenly Father that the word says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So we bind up every plot, every scheme that you have, and we curse it right to the root from which it came. And I thank you, Father, that each and every partner of this broadcast, those who listen in, I thank you that they're flourishing in their lives, Father. I thank you that they're whole and healthy. Lord, we bind coronavirus, Lord. We come against it in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for those that are listening that have a heart, and you've pricked their heart. The Holy Spirit has pricked their heart to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father. Jesus said this. He says, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, then I would be ashamed to confess you before my Father. And I wouldn't want Jesus to be ashamed to confess me before his Father. It's a very simple process. And whatever you're engaged in now, whatever lifestyle you're in, we're not asking you to change anything. All we're asking you to do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And it's very simple. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says that you can be saved. So I will appeal to you to just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Christ Jesus came to earth, died on the cross at Calvary, and that you raised him from the dead. And he sits at your right hand forevermore. I accept him as Lord and Savior of my life right now. And with that, friend, you saved.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, again, thank you for an awesome broadcast. Again, man, in the month of March, I want to remind listeners, you can listen to us on any of the different platforms, not only just on Blog Talk, but iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn. And I think I was told that you'll probably get us through some other channels, even on cable. Don't ask me how. Yeah, I don't know how to figure that one out. But thank you for listening in. And what I want to do is thank you again, Brother Cleo, for what you said. I want to remind you that if you go to WhenChristiansSpeak.com, we do have a donation page that you can donate any kind of seed or offering that you desire. We are a nonprofit organization. We are listed as a nonprofit organization. That we're really legit. We're not a fly by night. We've been doing this for 7 years. Amen. And we're about the broadcast. We're about the Father's business. So I will thank you if you do that. But again, brothers, thank you for joining. Thank you for everything. And we'll talk soon. God bless everybody.
God bless you.
God bless.